you.
That haven't heard the show before. My mother, how old are you, Mom, now? 103?
No, on my last birthday, yes, that's right.
No, 107, Dad.
107, I did it wrong. I know that she's the sole survivor of the Titanic. I know she's
the
only one that's still around. No.
That's true. The blue, what's the name of that rock iambic?
No, Mother, it's called the Heart of the Ocean.
Heart of the Ocean, yeah, okay. It's sitting right on my table.
So you didn't really drop it in the ocean on the boat?
I didn't drop it on the ocean, no, I would never drop it on the ocean.
James Cameron told us a story then. But anyways, my mother actually, right before she turned 72, had open heart surgery. This was back in the fall of this past year in September, right, late October, September. A month and a half afterwards, we got her in Disneyland riding on all kinds of roller coasters and everything else. You got a pig's valve foot in you, and the pig's valve is obviously working really well.
It works very well. I want spare ribs all the time.
That's cannibalistic, Mother. You can't have spare ribs. If you eat any kind of pork, you're...
Ah, special day it is. That actually was my mother a few years back, the last time I ever had her on the show. I miss and love you dearly, Mom. That being said, happy Mother's Day to mothers and grandmothers everywhere. God bless you, and I sincerely hope you all get to enjoy your day. To those of you who aren't mothers, I would like to wish you a good morning as well, and welcome you to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, here with future Hall of Fame producer Magnum on the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. We are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studios in Las Vegas. We are also streaming live on lvsportsnetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM, and being that we are now simulcast, I am sure we will be updating the Twitter handle in the near future. I encourage you to check out, like, and follow our Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. No way are you listening to sports talk on a Sunday morning without an opinion. And being that without you, there's no show, pick up the phone and let me hear it. The Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today, we'll fill you up on the NFL, I should say the NHL, conference finals. The underdogs start their respective series, both winning in OT, and I'm loving every minute of it. Also part of today's discussion, the road to Golden State Cleveland Part 3. And if any way or any one of you any way shape or form you disagree that it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland, please stop it. The Golden State Warriors have 5 All-Stars and 4 future Hall of Famers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have arguably the best player that ever lived. Trust me, LeBron James will be playing in every NBA final no matter what team he is on until 5 years after he retires. So are you really excited about the big game 7 to determine whether Boston or Washington will be LeBron's next victim? If we're lucky, we'll see a hard-fought, competitive, big-picture, meaningless game tomorrow night. Today, we will be joined by Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director of the Las Vegas 51s, the AAA franchise of the New York Mets. Jimmy will help me out with today's 51s report and hopefully fill us in on the new stadium that is slated to be constructed in Summerlin in the not-so-distant future. Also joining the show down the road is UNLV basketball coach Marvin Menzies. As most UNLV basketball fans know by now, Coach Menzies appears to have outdone himself and just killed it recruiting. What are his expectations of the incoming Rebels?
Ooh, potential is a scary word, isn't it? The potential. They're obviously very talented. It's tough to get caught up in hype and rankings and so on and so forth, because those are, real coaches don't recruit to stars, you know what I mean? That's not my thing. I recruit to my system, my program, my style of play, my philosophy. people I want to bring into my family. So when you ask about what their potential is, I want to give you a true answer. Now, obviously, on paper, the potential is, sky's the limit. And the other guys that'll follow because of the guys that we've signed. But until we put in the work, I got to see how they respond, so it's kind of tough to answer.
And it's usually a tight squeeze, but weekly features, Blazin' and Fact This, are in fact on tap. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That's right, they are always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai Tropicana. It's in between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out Bubby's University. .com. Well, let me start off by talking about something that I think has been incredible, and that has been the NHL playoffs. They have been absolutely on fire this year. It's one of the coolest years, and especially knowing that we in Vegas have the luxury of having the very first NHL franchise coming our way this coming fall. And it's pretty amazing that, only one team is entering the league, and they're going to get their pick in the supplemental draft. They're getting their sixth pick overall in the regular draft, and I think they definitely can make some noise. But the cool thing is about this, and people think they're going to be competitive fairly quickly. They should get a great goalie. Most people, for some reason, everyone thinks it's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It very well could. It seems like he's a very logical choice. Obviously, they can't predict both their goalies, but what I'm saying is, what a great year for hockey to be coming to Las Vegas. These playoffs, you look at it, you'll never see this in the NBA. Ever will you see this in the NBA. You have the two top teams in the National Hockey League's regular season gone. The Washington Capitals, gone. The Chicago Blackhawks, they were gone in the first round by the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. Listen, people, let me tell you this right now. This is pretty amazing, and I should say in the Western Conference, but this is pretty amazing. You have the 3-seed Pittsburgh Steelers, who are actually the 2-seed in the Eastern Conference, and you have the Anaheim Ducks, who were the 3rd seed, I believe, in the Western Conference, and then you have the two last teams to make the postseason in the Nashville Predators. It was the Ottawa Senators, I should say, and the Nashville Predators. Pretty incredible that both these teams right now could end up playing each other in the Stanley Cup Finals, which is why hockey is so excellent, because defense and great goaltending can take you all the way in hockey. Defense can take you all the way in football. But you know what? In basketball, it's a great player or two. You will never, ever see this happen in the NBA, where both conferences are threatened to be won by the lowest seed to make the playoff. Mags, pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of the NHL playoffs this year, more so than I have in the past, obviously, because I'm trying to gear myself up and learn a little bit more about the sport. And, it was a sport I watched a lot when I was younger, but as I got into my 20s and 30s, I kind of, there was the strike where they canceled the Stanley Cup. What was that, 2004? So, I kind of lost interest after that, but I'm regaining my interest now. And, the NHL, they do a lot of things wrong. The whole fact that you've had Pittsburgh beat the number 2 and the number 3 seed in the first two rounds, to me, that's just stupid. But as far as what we're witnessing as far as these games, they are blowing the NBA playoffs out of the water. It's not even close. These games are amazing. I almost cursed because I got really excited thinking about it. I have absolutely no rooting interest in the Anaheim Nashville series. And I was watching that game Friday night on the edge of my seat, heart racing every single time somebody took a shot, because it's like, they're in overtime. Next goal wins. To me, that is such a great finish. And the intensity. I talk to Ryan, the hockey guy, all the time. He does the rink rats with Ballpark Frank. And I'm a big soccer guy. I love soccer. And for me, there's a lot of similarities between the NHL playoffs and a soccer game, because it's so intense that one goal could be the difference. We're not talking 125 to 89 blowouts in the playoffs. To me, that's unwatchable. You give me a 2-1 hockey game in the NHL playoffs, I don't care who's playing. I'm going to watch it. And it's been fantastic. The NHL playoffs have been amazing. I think there's been like 25 overtime games.
There's been more.
Oh, yeah, last night.
Last night again. I think they're actually up to 27 now, Mags. And, amazing. And like I was saying, both games, both conference finals started with an overtime game with the eighth seed beating the much lower seed. Like I said, I did not understand why the Penguins had to get through it. And the Capitals got screwed. Shouldn't they have played the Senators in the second round? Not that the Senators wouldn't have still beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, Anderson is standing on his head right now, and some of these guys...
Well, how about Carlson for Ottawa playing with two broken bones? He's been playing with two broken bones in his ankle for the entire playoffs.
Oh, no doubt. It's incredible. What about this guy, Jean-Gabriel Pageau? I mean, are you kidding me? The guy scores 12 goals all year, Mags, and he has 8 goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, including the first goal in last night's game that, you know, ultimately was huge.
Yeah.
And then you got a guy like Bobby Ryan. Who the hell is he? Well, he's only scored 2 overtime goals for 2 of their wins. And the Ottawa Senators, talking about this team right now, they were the bottom seed in the Eastern Conference. And they are 6-1 in overtime games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And a lot of that goes to Greg Anderson, the goalie, who has just been a wall back there. But I got to tell
you. And they've beaten two, really, because a lot of people really liked the Bruins going in. And then the Rangers were probably the consensus pick after Pittsburgh to come
Lundqvist,
out. Of, yeah.
People just thought postseason Lundqvist is lights
brutal.
Out. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Rangers fan, but I know a ton of Ranger fans growing up in the Northeast where I did in New Jersey. And the one thing you could have expected hearing them talk was they won't get beat because Lundqvist played bad. Well, you know what?
They got beat because he played bad. Yeah. No, you know, the funny thing is I wonder in both these series, Mags, I think, you know, was getting out of the previous series so rough that both these series you're thinking if you're the Anaheim Ducks, it's Nashville. And if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, you're so happy. It's like, we're playing Ottawa to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. We're the defending champs. Here's my point. Here's my point in this. I'm thinking, especially watching the Ottawa game last night, it was a Capital hangover. That's all I could think of. I mean, the Penguins were not mentally prepared to play the Senators. I think they took them a little bit lightly, Mags, and they thought, like many people did, that they'll walk through here and win the series in 5 games, and it won't be that tough. Well, let me tell you something. If they want to win in 5 games now, they're going to have to win 4 in a row. But Ottawa has a hell of a team, a hell of a system, not to mention a pretty damn good goaltender playing the best hockey of his life. And if you're not willing to outwork these Senators, you're not willing to outplay them, they're going to beat you and they're going to win. And I'll tell you right now, the one thing with Ottawa that's great, Mags, is not only the last line of defense, which is the goaltending, it's their ability to kill penalties.
Yeah.
They step it up.
The Rangers, I think...
5 penalties they killed against a team like Pittsburgh that's got one of the most potent offenses in the National Hockey League, and they shut them down. Granted, Anderson was standing on his head. I hate that cliche because everybody uses it, but it wasn't just him. They were playing some phenomenal defense, and... How does it happen, Mags? How does a team end up the eighth seed barely making the playoffs and making a run like this? And it's not an anomaly. We saw the Kings do it a couple of years ago.
They won the Stanley Cup.
How about both conferences? Can you imagine the NHL? They're ripping their hair out, and here as a fan, I think it's tremendous, but we could see Nashville playing Ottawa for the Stanley Cup Finals. Can you imagine the odds on that, even at the beginning of the playoffs?
Yeah, and I would imagine that the people in the NHL offices are probably hoping for the opposite, because obviously Pittsburgh has Sidney Crosby, the big star. They've got Malkin, who is, I think, the better player than, I mean, I guess that's probably a stretch, but Malkin seems to be the guy who really seems to step it up in crunch time. And then they're hoping for Anaheim because you're going to bring in that Southern California market. If you bring in Ottawa, on the other hand, you're bringing in all of Canada for the viewing of the Stanley Cup Finals. But
I think it's
huge. Think about it. There's still more people in Southern California than there are in the entire country of Canada.
Yeah.
So they're obviously hoping for the Ducks. Although I think Nashville's a great story because Nashville.
I still think they want the Penguins. I still think they want
the Penguins and the Ducks because of what I just outlined. You're going to get Stars. You're going to get the defending champs. You're going to get the Ducks, who have been arguably, I mean, aside from the Kings and the Blackhawks, the best franchise in the Western Conference the last decade. You know, I think they've made this would, if they do make it, this would be their third trip to the Stanley Cup Finals in the last 10 years. But, you know, I mean, it's been dominated by themselves, Chicago and the Kings. And, you know, I don't care who makes it. If you ask me who I'm rooting for Ottawa and Nashville. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I'd love it.
But I think the NHL is probably rooting against the teams that you and I would like to see in the finals.
Well, it's not just us. I think, Magnum, what I like about those two teams potentially being in the finals is the fact that here in Vegas, we've got an expansion team coming, and we start looking at this and thinking, wow, we get Fleury from Pittsburgh. We can make a run. He can get hot in the playoffs. We've seen him do it, for God's sake. We saw him do it last year or 2 years ago. The point is I think it's great for hockey, for us fans here, and to develop fans in Vegas. Listen, maybe a little bit later on we'll get into the NBA playoffs. Like I said, Magnum, I'm just waiting to talk about the NBA, because there's only two teams in the NBA playoffs as far as I'm concerned. So we'll be talking more about them next week as we get closer to Cleveland Golden State and the denial. You are listening to Out of Line.
The 0-2, breaking ball, hammered to deep left field, down the line, way back, and that ball is out of here for the third straight game. Desmond Jennings goes deep. 1-0 Vegas in the bottom of the second inning. Fastball, a hard ground ball. Diving stop by Monesi, who goes to second for one and has no further play.
One of the best in the business, Russ Langer on the call. NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. And it is time for the Las Vegas 51s report, brought to you by the Las Vegas 51s, the AAA affiliate of the New York Mets. Today, joining me again for this week's report is Las Vegas 51s Media Relations Director Jim Gemma. Jim, I saw you at the game the last two Friday nights, but I figured I'd wait and ask you a question I have been being asked constantly since Steve Cofield was talking about the new stadium officially coming to Summerlin the week before last on Cofield and Company. What are the details, and when is the realistic first season we will see professional baseball up in the Summerlin area?
First of all, thanks for having me on, and we will have Don Logan, President and CEO, on your show soon. Sooner than later.
Okay.
I thought you were going to ask me about the Gonzalez twins. I thought that was more important. I knew Magnum would like that. But it actually is very important, but I wish them the best. But I know the situation with the new AAA stadium in Summerlin, the talks are ongoing, obviously, with the Raiders and the Golden Knights. All that stuff is kind of settled down. And people are reading, you know, the LVCVA still runs the Cashman Center. And after next month, June, the theater part is going to be kind of closed. Not kind of closed, it's closing.
Right.
And then they're still going to operate Cashman Field, the stadium. The bottom line is we still have a lease here till 2023. So hopefully, I already used the word sooner than later. Something's going to be worked out up there. There's no secret now. You know, the Howard Hughes Corporation fully owns the stadium, and they own the land. So, I mean, it's not hard. It's silly to sit here and say we're going to keep playing here 5 years from now at Cashman. So, you know, the folks there have a lot of power, and talking to the county commissioners and everything, hopefully something will be worked out. A lot of it's just, you know, the financial mechanism, how this is going to happen, but be that as it may, when you just got through seeing $750 million of taxpayer money basically got ramrodded through the state legislature, something's going to be done with the 51s. And, you know, and ultimately the fans deserve a new ballpark. You go to these other ballparks now that the fans who've supported us for 35 years, and obviously it's really great for us too, and the players and player development. But the bottom line is the fans deserve a new ballpark.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you. I think the field itself, and obviously the grounds crew and everything else at Cashman's great. I totally get it with concessions and why they're looking to build a new ballpark. I just happen to be one, and I don't want to throw a wet blanket on it, but I love the fact that it's in downtown Las Vegas. I always have. I thought it was really cool. I thought that's part of what makes the atmosphere and the ambiance that is the Las Vegas 51s. What kind of effect do you think the move to Summerlin will have on the fan base?
Actually, the fan base is going to go up. In all due respect to the folks who don't want to drive the It's 13 miles from this site right here at Cashman Field. But the 215, even I'm in Green Valley, it condenses the geography of the city. It, people act like it's in Pahrump or Boulder City. It's it, or, you know, Searchlight. I mean, it's not. It's really, it's like 10 minutes farther if I'm coming from Green Valley over to that area by the Red Rock Casino. So, and there's 100,000 people in that area at Sun City. So the attendance is going to spike because it's a new place. And again, hopefully, you know, a year or two down the road, we can be talking about this in greater detail.
I hope so. The last couple of years, 51's fans have been a bit spoiled as we've not seen the team fall below 500 too often. A slower start this year, but still some great prospects playing at Cashman. Highlights and disappointments so far, Jimmy?
Well, a lot of it's a trickle down from the Mets. You know, they're still holding their own. They haven't had a good series in Milwaukee, but what happens up there is really trickling down here. I think it's affecting our pitching more than anything, but people still have to come out and see Ahmed Rosario. He's probably one of the best players in minor league baseball. He's a big league shortstop, but he's 21 years old. They need him to play down here. Dominic Smith, the first baseman, he's a number two prospect. They're so highly touted. For the third time since we've been an affiliate, the Mets Insider is coming out this Wednesday and Thursday for SNY. To do a feature with them, basically follow them around for a couple days. And one of the media relations folks, Mike Passanisi, is coming out from the Mets. So, I mean, that's how highly thought of those two are. So it's going to be a fun feature on them.
A lot of good players coming up. Okay, Jim, we saw another exceptional fireworks display this past Friday night. And as most of our listeners know, I could almost do a whole segment on your firework displays. But it seems like almost every game you have a cool promotion going on. Yesterday, the first 2,500 through the gates got a 51's warm-up jersey. Talk about some of the upcoming promotions.
Yeah, I mean, obviously after Thursday, I mean, the Iowa Cubs is a promotion in themselves. They'll be here Monday through Thursday, and they always draw so many more people for us to the ballpark. But then we go on the road to New Orleans and Round Rock. But Memorial Day weekend, we'll have 1991 Las Vegas Stars throwback jersey night to the first 2,500. And then, you know, this year, June's a weird schedule. We only have 20 out of 28 games are on the road the month of June. But we will have another fireworks show on Friday, June 16th, and Friday, June 23rd. And that pretty much takes care of between now and the end of June.
It's awful hot, and I'll tell you what, again, Friday night I love going to the games. You got to get out there. There's just, like I said, something going on every night. He is Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas 51. Thanks for coming on, Jim. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for always having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. This has been the Las Vegas 51's Report, brought to you by the Las Vegas 51's. They're out of this world.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Blazing! It's that time again. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Located at the 215 of North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. There is no place better in America for wings, beer, and sports. They have two happy hours every day, and during the football season, I'm out there every Monday night giving away replica jerseys, wing parties, wings. It's a great time, and it's a great place. That is Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 of North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. And Mags, I'm sure you've heard about it, but yesterday our local boy here, Bryce Harper, playing for the Washington Nationals, signed a monstrous contract again. They wanted to avoid 2018 arbitration, $21.6 million. And you know what he does afterwards, Mags, after he signs the contract? He just goes out and plays in the game and knocks his fifth career walk-off home run in the ninth inning for the Washington Nationals. He's already the third. He has the third most walk-offs career-wise for the Washington Nationals. He's done it in 689 career games. The next closest guy to him that has seven, and I wrote it down here somewhere. I'm going to have to look in my notes. But here we go. The next guy closest to him that has seven is Vladimir Guerrero.
He played for Expos.
Yeah, but who did it in 1,004 games. And Ryan Zimmerman, his teammate, has 10 of them, but it took him 1,442 games. And Bryce Harper did it in 689 games, $21.6 million. And he's got 11 dingers this year so far. And I would say that Bryce Harper, Mags, I would say that the guy is just slightly blazing right now for the Washington Nationals.
Say he ain't worth the money.
Would you say he's worth the money, Mags? $21.6 million for 1 year of playing Major League Baseball?
See, I'm always in the damned if I do, damned if I don't. As a Mets fan, I want him out of the division, but the problem is I know where he's going if he leaves Washington. So, honestly, stay in Washington because I still think the Mets could beat the Nationals. If he goes to the Yankees, it's over. So, I don't mind seeing him sign the extension because at the end of the day, like I said, I do think the Mets could beat the Nationals over a long haul, but they can't compete with the Yankees. I don't want to share the city with the Yankees. So I'm glad he signed the extension. Good. You know what? He's a good guy. I was lucky enough to go see him play opening day. He hit a home run that day. And, you know, he's a kid who I met when he was, I think, 17. And I keep calling him a kid because he's really not that old. I guess he's what, 24, I think? But He's a phenomenal player. I think he's the best player. Him and Mike Trout
are the best players in baseball.
You know, it's not even close as far as it's like LeBron and LeBron.
It's crazy too in a sport like baseball with so many players, Mags, that you'd have two guys that could dominate like Bryce Harper, like Bryce Harper being one of them, and Mike Trout in Anaheim another in LA. But you know, I'll tell you with Bryce Harper, he's having such a big season again. And you know, he says at the beginning when they first gave him the money before the game, they were talking to him and he says, you know, I love Washington, as you heard him say, I love the fans. I'm going to play this year. I know I'm going to be in Washington next year. And I won't worry about after 2018. Let me tell you, after 2018, Mags, he's going to make a lot more money.
Well, the crazy thing too, and I could be wrong. I think I looked it up, but Mike Trout was drafted, I think, 30s in the mid 30s of his draft. The Washington Nationals passed on him twice. They had two picks in the first round that year. So just imagine, had they taken him with one of those two picks? The combination of Trout and Harper in the outfield.
Oh my God. Not fair.
No.
Not fair. It's like LeBron James going somewhere.
Yeah. Would have been nuts.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Well, listen, Mags, what do you got for me? I got to hear what's blazing in your world today.
Well, I'm going to go with soccer blazing. I'm going to go with Tottenham Hotspur. They are closing out their stadium right now as we speak. It opened in 1899. Over 2,500 soccer matches have been played at White Hart Lane. They scored in the 6th minute. They lead Manchester United 1-0. But it's very cool to think that some of these soccer stadiums have been around for well over 100 years. You know, we talk about the cathedrals in baseball, Wrigley Field and Fenway Park. There's a lot of them in the world of soccer, and one of them is going away today, making way for a brand-new stadium, which will actually open in 2 years. And guess who's contributed some money to their new stadium? The NFL.
Really?
Has given Tottenham a little bit of cheddar to invest in their stadium. So, Pretty interesting stuff in the world of soccer.
All right. The world of soccer is blazing, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Listen, Blazing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. There are two happy hours every single day. And, of course, we know Buffalo Wild Wings is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. All right. It is time for this week's edition of Fact This. Mags, it is a fact that Dana White said today is D-Day as far as scheduling the Floyd Mayweather Jr. Conor McGregor fight. So everyone is anticipating it, and it's on the heels of UFC 211 is what it's called. It was in Dallas, Texas. Everyone said it was like a great card, maybe the best card of the year. Two championship fights. You had, what's that guy's name? Stipe
Miosic.
Miosic, yeah. Stipe Miosic.
The first champion from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. He put a beat down on Junior DeSantos, who actually beat him before, right?
Yeah.
He beat him before.
Avenged the loss.
And the thing is with Miosic, he's only the sixth heavyweight champion in the UFC to defend his title two times in a row. I was really surprised by that. And this is what's even crazier. Stipe Miocic is a firefighter, and I hear, Mag, he'll be back at work as early as Tuesday. I mean, what the F, man? That's insane. I'd like to see Dana White put out a real burning fire, okay? Surprised on that. Also in the strawweight title fight, women's, Joanna, and it's John Jacek?
Just call her champion.
Champion. Right? Seriously, she beat the hell out of Jessica Andrade.
Andrade, yeah.
Yeah, and she won the last four bouts by unanimous decision. She is 6-0 in the UFC.
She's really good.
And Joanna has now won six UFC title fights, tying her with Ronda Rousey. Joanna is a Muay Thai champion as well.
From Poland.
This woman, you know the thing about her, Mags? I've seen her fight a couple times now. She goes out from beginning to end of the fight. From the beginning to the end, she is going hard. She's throwing kicks. It looks like she kicks as hard at the beginning as at the end. But the truth of the matter is, to me, if Conor McGregor when you talk about this fight, and I want to get out to the phone lines, Coach Menzies is on the phone, but I want to just tell you, if Conor McGregor even makes it through one round with Floyd Mayweather Jr., boxing is going to have such a black eye. I mean, it's going to be egg in their face. You're talking about a guy who has never fought a professional fight in his life, is going up a guy who has over 40 of them and has never lost one. There is no way this fight should go beyond one round. And for those of you that think it's not going to be scheduled, fact this, it's getting scheduled simply because of money. Way too much money. Listen, we're going to end that right now. It's fact this. We're getting out to Marvin Menzies, coach of UNLV, the UNLV basketball team. Of course, we all know Marvin. And realistically, this was his first full recruiting season as head basketball coach at UNLV, and I don't believe that anyone with college basketball common sense would disagree in any way that would be remotely disagreeing with the fact that this was a phenomenal recruiting season for you, Coach.
It was a
Something happened? Disconnected? All right. Try and grab Coach again. We'll try and get him on there. Lost him for a second? Okay. Mag's gonna we'll get a bad connection. We'll try to get Coach back on again and talk about this recruiting class, because, again, it's pretty cool. We got him? Okay. Hey, Coach, sorry about that. We lost you. We're having tough with the connection, huh? All right, Mags will see what he can do to get this taken care of. We're talking about a phenomenal recruiting class for UNLV this year. If you guys have been out on an island and haven't seen this, five new recruits again, six or seven of the year. You want to take a quick break? All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I would say it's a grand slam. You know, this is... I'm tempering my expectations. Not my expectations, but my excitement. Because we still got to go win some games, right? But man, this is huge. I mean, this is, dude, it's national. I mean, I can't tell you how many texts I got last night. Not because it's a violation, I just can't tell you I got that many texts. It was an amazing deal. Like, my phone is blowing up. Like, I just made the NCAA tournament. When I was at New Mexico State, when I got the job here, I couldn't stop. You know, when I was in New Mexico State and we would go to the tournament, you know, my phone would blow up like crazy. When I got the job here, my phone would blow up. It was on that level. It's that big.
All right, we got the coach now on a landline, and that was afterwards coach talking about the recruiting class. And I don't know if you ever dabbled in plastic surgery, but that was one hell of a facelift you gave the Running Rebels this year. And a new look that includes a McDonald's All-American, the Junior College Player of the Year, a big, long athlete from Senegal, a kid that has a nice junior college career and never playing a high school basketball game. You got a left-handed, heady little point guard, a 6'5 combo guard, and a kid nicknamed Nunu. On paper, this team looks like they have the potential to be competitive right away. But as you know, we have some great on-paper teams here in the past, and not so much. So what are you and your staff expecting, and what would you tell UNLV fans to expect right now?
Well, you know, that's a tricky one because obviously we're expecting to do great things, and we're going to work that way. But with the young class, you're not always sure what you're going to get, so you just got to put in the work, and you hope that all of the evaluation that you had leading up to things was accurate, and that everyone else's evaluations of these young men was accurate. I think the fans need to expect, continue to try to push the pace and play more conducive to the talent that we have, which would allow us to probably apply a little more pressure defensively in the full court scenario, especially, and even mix it up in the half, just to do some things to really, you know, cause entertaining basketball, but inevitably causing wins.
Well, a lot of people talking right now and getting excited. How big of an impact do you feel signing Brandon McCoy will have on the program and the Marvin Menzies regime?
You know, it's you don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but he's pretty level-headed. I think he understands what he signed up for. I think he knows that the expectations will be big. So I think we'll get the results that we're looking for. I think the more important thing, well, not more important, but equally as important, is that there's going to be a huge upgrade from top to bottom. And I think that when you look at that, it's getting Brandon is obviously the cherry on top. But the cake looks pretty good, too.
We're talking to UNLV basketball coach Marvin Menzies. Early last month, we learned that former Bishop Gorman star Chase Jeter was leaving Duke and looking for a new home. Mm-hmm. That was back on April 5th. Jeter told ESPN his list included USC, Arizona, Cal, San Diego State, Gonzaga, Oregon, Utah, and UCLA. I heard Gonzaga has the inside track right now, but when I heard that, I was thinking, man, it wouldn't be good at all if he went to San Diego State and ever had a hand in beating UNLV and they hadn't even thrown their hat in the ring.
Well, we threw it in the ring. just didn't hit anything. It's not like we didn't get a chance to reach out. I never talked to Chase, but obviously coming home was not something he desired to do at this point, which is fine by us. We want the young man to be happy and pick a place where he's going to be able to finish up his college career, you know, and where he wants to be. So with that being said, you know, we would look forward to the opportunity to play against him. I have no problems going against anybody, especially with the direction that we're headed and the confidence I have in my staff and the players that we'll bring in. So if he's at San Diego State, then great. And if he's at UCLA, it's great. You know, I wish him nothing but luck unless we cross paths.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I want you to enjoy your coffee. So, Coach, I'm going to make this last question a fun one. Everyone knows the old saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I'm guessing when these recruits and their parents come to town for the visit, you and maybe your assistants go out to dinner with them. I'm also assuming that you're not closing McDonald's All-Americans over Big Macs. So when people come in from out of town and aren't familiar with Las Vegas, where do you take them to eat?
Well, we usually do a couple things. We usually bring them by the house, and there's no better cooking in Vegas than my wife's cooking. Plug for Mother's Day there, but she gets it done, and she cooks. You know, it could be anything. It can be from Jamaican jerk food, jerk chicken to soul food. So we mix it up at the house depending on what the kid, you know, likes. And then, you know, I gotta be honest, we hit Cabo Wabo, we hit STK. You know, we got a few restaurants we really like on the Strip that we go to, but we cater it more to the kid than just one particular spot.
All right, me and Magnum think that we need to come over for some of your wife's cooking. He was looking at me licking his chops over there. So we're ready for the invite. Hey, listen, it's UNLV basketball coach Marvin Menzies. As always, Coach, we appreciate you, and good luck next season.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you guys checking in and look forward to talking to you anytime.
Absolutely. Coach Marvin Menzies. Mags, I'm excited about this year, I'll tell you. I did not expect, the guy's a good recruiter, and he really has California down pat. I didn't expect what we got out of this year. I got to tell you again, I've said this in the past over Rice's recruiting classes, but I am really impressed with what I see there. These guys are going to be long, they're going to be athletic, and we've got two or three point guards, something they didn't have last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, we still have to kind of temper expectations a little bit because, there is going to be some early bumps in the road, I think, because these guys have never played together before. So I think, everyone just thinking that they're going to win 20, 25 games, calm down. It's his first real recruiting class. This team is going to take some time to build chemistry. I still don't know if they have a guy who they can rely on to go and score 20, 25 points a night if they need it. So let's calm down with the expectations. I'm going into it with, hey, if they improve, and you know what? I hate when people say, oh, don't say we. You know what? I'm a UNLV grad. I say we.
Absolutely.
So when we just need to improve on next season because it's going to take time. I have a lot of confidence in Coach Menzies and the rest of the staff. And you know what? We just need to be calm and not expect 20, 25 wins just because he had a great recruiting class.
Well, Mags, the expectation is, and Marvin will be the first to say this, the expectation is an improvement,
well,
a drastic improvement
I've seen some things on social media where people are saying, oh, NCAA tournament, we're going to go back.
No, not this year.
Calm down.
This year. Come on.
If they finish in the upper half of the Mountain West, and they win, I think between 16 and 20 games, 16 obviously being the low end. I would like to see 18, 19 wins, possible NIT bid. To me, I think that's a successful season right now because I had never anticipated ever seeing UNLV as low as they were last year. I mean, that was rock bottom for this program that has such a storied history.
It was tough.
Great programs for the most part have gone through it. Duke may go through it when Coach K leaves. Kentucky went through it with Billy Gillespie.
No, they do. It's been a
Indiana,
long time.
Mags, Tom Crean. It happens.
Mags, you
to
guys
the best,
as an so. Alumni, and I'll include you in this, you've been suffering a while now. It's been, Tark era is long gone.
Well, it's not I thought that the Kruger era was
Kruger,
was
no,
good,
you know what?
You know?
No,
but there were people who they weren't satisfied with that. And you know what? You have to be realistic. This is not 1990 anymore where teams can where any school can build a good basketball program.
Mags, here's the bottom line. Only one team can win a national championship.
Well yes, exactly.
I think Sweet 16 is pretty damn good.
Look, we've seen St. Mary's turn into a pretty good program. Obviously, Gonzaga is a great program. Those are good bars to shoot for UNLV. You're not going to be Kentucky anymore. This isn't going to happen. But you can certainly be a team that competes to win the Mountain West Conference Championship year in and year out, a team that is in the mix for an NCAA tournament bid every single season. And I think that's what Marvin Menzies is going to do.
Well, you know what's funny is, and I didn't want to put him on the spot because I really do like Coach, but his big-time philosophy when he came here was, guys that had staying power, building a team, not looking for guys that are one and done, building guys that by their senior year, they are a unit, they're cohesive, and they can compete. Things that you see like a school like St. Mary's, Mags, part of the reason they've gotten better is guys stay all 4 years there. By the time you get to a senior class, you got four guys that have so much playing experience that they can compete with maybe competition that's a little bit better because they have what's called the senior smarts.
Well,
with Brandon McCoy. Brandon McCoy is the only way he's not one and done, Mags, is if he's not what we think he is.
Well, I think Coach Menzies has the right philosophy, too. You go out and get that guy if he's willing to come to you, but you don't build your entire recruiting class on one and dones. You have to build it. If you look at Gonzaga, you know what? They finally got over the hump this year. They made the NCAA championship. I thought there was some shoddy officiating in that national championship game, but that's another story. But the thing is, they did it with a team full of leaders and older players. They got the transfer and Williams Goss. Then they had the one and done kid thrown in the mix. He was the cherry on top of the sundae for Gonzaga, and it was what got them over the hump into the Final Four, into the championship game. Kentucky, they're a different animal. Duke, different animal. You don't see North Carolina with a ton of one and duns. You don't see Syracuse with a ton of...
You see them all. Mags,
they all have them, but the difference is...
The team that typically wins a national championship has one or two one-and-dones on that team.
Yes.
And here's the bottom line. I believe Marvin's his philosophy is excellent, and I like what he says, but, you know... I think it's also a little bit of a protective philosophy because I don't think he felt that right away he'd be capable of recruiting a one-and-done player. So it's nice to say, look, we're not going after those guys because we want to build a program. But the truth is, let's be realistic, I don't think he thought he could get a one-and-done player. And then with Brandon McCoy, the relationship he had with his family that he developed, his assistants developed, he landed a one-and-done. And he even said, hey, you know, sometimes you got to curtail this. Because the bottom line is, Megs, you are not winning a national title without at least one one-and-done player on your team. Not in today's day.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but you look at a lot of the quality programs around the country, and sure, they all have the one-and-dones mixed in. The point I'm making is, you mix those guys in with a core group.
Sure.
And what Marvin Menzies went out and did this year is he brought in a core group of guys who are going to build the program. Then they have the one and done on top of it. You know, there's a lot of really good freshmen coming in.
Oh, that kid from the junior college transfer, that Juiston kid, looks like he's going to be the real deal,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Shakur Juiston is, you know, he was a JUCO player of the year. And, you know, again, there could be a little bit of a learning curve for him because it's a big jump up from JUCO.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're running out of time, and I wanted to ask about Anthony Smith, too. This kid never played high school basketball.
Yeah.
Pretty cool that you find a guy that blossoms a little bit later, a lot of AIU, whatever they call it.
AAU, yeah.
Yeah, AU ball, and here he is. He plays a little bit of junior college ball. He's got 2 years of eligibility. But what I like about guys like him that are a little bit older and guys like Juiston that come in, you know, you saw it with Mooring, and hopefully Javon will be a lot more settled down this year with this caliber of player.
Well, I think he will because he's going to have a lot better players around
him. Competition. You go out there chucking it, there's people that can replace you this year. Last year, there was just nobody. Menzies was stuck with him on the floor. Listen, Mags, before we get out of here, I know we're going to take a break or we're done. I just want you to quickly put your podcast, man. Give him a quick segue.
Yeah, check out the other football podcast on the LV Sports Network. This week, I talked about the closing few weeks of the English Premier League. Also talked about Champions League, the other football podcast. You're going to want to check it out. I gave a big shout-out to Hoffenheim and Tranmere Rovers. Nobody even knows Tranmere Rovers. Gave him a shout-out this week.
I don't even know him either. Listen, I want to thank everyone for joining the show today. Thank you for being here. And, of course, thank Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas 51s, UNLV men's basketball coach Marvin Menzies, and, of course, Magnum, the producer. We are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. I'm Brian Feldman. Join us. Check us out. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. We'll see you next week.